of you in this room right now will remember she came here with somebody named Kip. And she said it then to quite a few people. She got on the outs with her traveling companion, Kip, while she was here. Now, I don't know, but today is the day that I'm going to speak on this matter of those gold coins and things. I had asked that some things be done. I got the big argument. I had asked specifically that something be done without pulling Gene Dixon into it. I specifically said, don't run anything past the law center in this. I'm not asking you to ask about it. I'm telling you to please do it immediately. I had a reason for having to do it that day. Because the next morning, precious friends, Dave Overton died. And we haven't even been able to share this with you people for over 2 weeks. Because there needed to be some other legal things done in Nevada, in that court, prior to the Green Brigade finding out. Things are being handled for Dave Overton in Texas, and they are in capable hands. But you see, some of the things that I had asked to be done didn't get done, and the papers didn't get signed. And I said in this very room on that very Sunday afternoon that I cannot keep Dave much longer. He wanted to come home. He has come home, and he's with me right now. And everybody wondered what would happen to Dave, including Dave. In Nevada, he asked me for a ride, and I said, you'll be one of the first from the group. And he was. The minute he got permission to leave his post, he came home. But you see, he's not down there now to cover those things that had to be covered before this man left your physical world. And now let me tell you, it is a real bitch trying to get it cleared up while they argue in the Supreme Court and in Judge Gamble's court. And you're going to find that those final instructions were finally carried through, and they will make the difference in what happens to this man's property. I asked that several of you file some improper actions. Why would I do that? To stop the statute of limitations from expiring. Oh no, these kinds of things never expire. These are criminal actions. Come on, lawyers. Criminal code, maybe it doesn't expire. Civil code, these things expire. And you are on the cusp. Some of the most serious miscarriages of law from the Common Law Service Center and the diversion of checks into Colorado from Green to Anderson. And come on, Gene is stuck in this because he shared the office and the secretary. And when all this hit the fan, Gene fired his secretary, Sylvia. Mitch was there. Mitch Jaffe was there. And he said, what I'm finding in these books makes me sick. Nobody was comfortable having Mitch there. And Sylvia said, he ain't going to fire me. We've got too much on him. He knows all about it. Did Gene know about it? Does he know about it? He tried to fix it, but he couldn't seem to make anybody listen, even the people in the bank in Colorado. How much got diverted? Well, some of Dave Overton's checks got diverted. Ruby Pimentel's got diverted. But Ruby Pimentel, after George arranged with her to go to US&P's seminar and returned her check with a money order from the Colorado bank back and a cover letter somehow from Gary Anderson saying, I just don't know how this happened, but this must be yours, that somehow got whatever. And if I can be of any further help, let me know. So Ruby got her money back. Jean got in touch with Ruby, did all of these things. Green. Well, I don't know. Jean got in touch with her, too. So I probably didn't misspeak. I'm sure the tale was considerably different according to the purpose. And so Ruby writes a letter. I have my money back, and you guys are bad. And Mr. Green is wonderful, and he doesn't owe me anything and all of this. And so Green, forever after that, would say, ask Ruby Pimentel. Lord Methven, you know, from the law firm that his lawyer from his firm is against, Rick. Methven and Tips, at the same time of the USP case, were billing Eckers. Eckers' bills, their bills, even though they would not sign the waiver to allow either lawyer to get off the hook. They even charged the Eckers for doing up the waivers. This is incredible. What Rick is finding is you dig. Guess how close you came. Guess how close you came. I finally put the screws on and I said, do it now. So well over a year ago, I just wound up Dorma till she just, I probably in this room and all over, said, I'm going to file tomorrow. And I'll fill in the blanks later. But I have a case and I am going to go file on my own behalf. And Jean said, don't do it that way. That is silly. You really have a case and we have a new lawyer. And this is when Brad Elliott first came aboard. I had told him to do this sooner than that, maybe a year sooner. But Jean wanted to run by the causes of action with Brad Elliott, so Brad has the case. But he left his law firm and all this, so nothing ever finally gets done. And I keep pushing, do it, do it, do it. And I keep getting, well, we don't have time today, and it's such a good case. And, yes, sir, and it expires the end of February. In civil fraud, you have 3 years. Now, some actions took place, and George Green is such a good sport that he continued to send his documents around. So that once you can prove that he has continued to do something, then you can go back for old discovery. But you've got to stop the clock. And I thank you, Rick, for stopping the clock. So, my people are going to learn pro per? I don't think so until that clock runs out, possibly. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to hurt feelings that are going to absolutely be beyond repair, I believe, as far as Jean is concerned. George Green is telling his lawyers up there and all the bunch from the associates from the CLC and US&P, etc., don't worry guys, you know, this man is off his rocker. He lies in every court. He says, don't worry, Gene's my guy. He isn't going to dare let them do anything. And when Rick filed, he almost died. I am not joshing you. He almost had a heart attack. George Green. George Green. Gene Dixon didn't want him to file. George Green almost had a heart attack. George Green. Dixon was just angry. Because, in all fairness to Gene, he may have just thought to do it properly later would be a better way to go. But properly later, according to what Rick had to deal with, would have been over about the 1st of February. So, Dharma comes dancing down and says, well, man, I'm going to just file and join with Rick. And that'll get an action in. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. That'll just make them throw Rick's out. Why? Why? Right before Judge Coyle, who heard the USMP case, well, then comes the other half of it. Well, how can you keep it in that court because of jurisdiction? You see, you have to listen to what the argument was with Rick. You don't have jurisdiction and limitation of the statute of time has expired. And Judge Coyle said, ooh, I don't think so. I look at this with all this slander that was mailed all over, and then you get, oh, but that only went to Florida. It didn't come to California. Why would that bother them? Anybody in here besides Rick and EJ and Charles and Al know why that would bother them? And if you don't know why, then I suggest you get down and get a movie called The Firm. They mailed these false bills, these overcharges, these double billings, the slander, the statements, they mailed them with a U.S. postal stamp on them all over. That is federal mail fraud. And if you can't catch the criminal on the bigger of the crimes, just like Al Capone, go for the IRS. They have committed mail fraud with their billings, their overcharges, their inner dealings. George has even been working with Stephen Horn on these people's house. Actually, it's your people's house, isn't it? Well, isn't it too bad? Because now there isn't a vacate notice. I wonder what that's going to do to Mr. Horn's afternoon when he finds it out. I'm sorry. Maybe there are some questions you'd like to ask. I wanted to ask Gene several points of law. I want to know what are the statutes of limitation, and frankly, I'm going to ask him what he knows about this. Because this is not accusation time. This is absolutely, he is so busy that he may just not have thought about it, because criminal fraud doesn't expire. But you'd have to go to a grand jury, wouldn't you, to bring criminal charges? You don't get much help from the sheriff, do you? I mean, they wouldn't even look at $350,000. It's a dirty game. And you people can be stuck in this dirty game as victims, or you can learn enough to do it yourself. But it does require you learn. And I really do appreciate the ones of you who hear me, are willing to check it out, and take some action without permission to at least hold this open. And I'm telling you, there's some really unhappy people. And you're going to get a lot more unhappy. And I'm getting concerned about the original documents, quite frankly, in the Law Center. Because when you get enemies, sometimes you have fires, sometimes you have all sorts of things happening. And I don't want Gene worried about his existence with us. Gene Dixon is destined to head that law center. would like to do something worthwhile. I told him years ago, I said, Gene, they're going to blackmail you. They are really going to blackmail you. And I fully intend to protect you. And his little boy was there, and he was acting up, and he was being a little smart ass. And I said, shape up, kid. Your dad, one day, you will be humbly proud of him. And you have respect. Because the decisions your dad is going to have to make are going to be some of the hardest that any man will ever make. The man got disbarred. He would like to get his bar ticket back. He is a trial lawyer. He wants to go to court and do his job. They won't let him have it. And he knows that Scott Tibbs can, with one phone call, shut down any prayer of his ever getting that ticket. And I'm disappointed in Gene in that he wants it so bad. He just wants to go play lawyer again in court. I think it is a real stigma on a man to have a bar ticket. He has a great contribution that he can make. And therefore you have to sit and say, well, you have a real shrewd man here. Wouldn't he know that these statutes of limitations expire? So I have to ask you. And I don't have any other way to speak of these things. I don't like to do anything like this without a person present. Yes. Forgive me, but I'm not going to even make statements about anything like that. I am not going to, because I can see and I know you're going to have to speculate and figure it out. And you see, I'm going to work continually as if, and you must work as if, because you've got to do your own work. My work and my word is not acceptable in the court of law. And Judge Coyle made that very clear. He didn't care who any of these other people were. It was her going to jail. So I could tell you yes or I could tell you no, and if it was the opposite, you would be angry with me later. There's no reason you can't find out all these things. And these are the things that ones keep pushing. Well, you see, Commander should have told us. I tried. Not anything about Gene. I tried to get you to do something. But you have all of these reasons not to do something that I asked you to do. Usually it's because you don't understand, or you want somebody else to do it, or you have to know all the little details, and I cannot tell you all the little details. I may not tell you all the little details. But it is very hard to believe that a man could be in the same office and not know something is wrong. And whether something was wrong or was not wrong or is not wrong, how does it look in a court of law while you have others on the witness stand saying you did? How can he say, I certainly didn't, and I tried every way that I could to recover? Oh, did you? Yes, I did. I went to the one who did the most good bringing it to the attention of the sheriff's department, I'm sure until they wished that he would not do this, was Mitch. Mitch got so frustrated that I think it was when we lost Mitch. Well, he was thwarted everywhere he went. Mitch is a detail man. Mitch was going through the books up there, getting the stuff ready to ship down here. The office was being closed. Mitch went up to help close it out. So, what do all of them have to do? Friends, you know this. You know that George Green at the very seminar where Darrell Keenan questioned George at the break, and we were having a meeting, so Darrell Keenan had left word on the answer machine at home. These are easy to track back to the very day that these statements were made. He called to say he had asked George these questions. George is their big shot. And that George had been speaking on domed housing. Now, people, go back in your brain and then go find the tape of Bo Bright's radio program that had Bo Bright, George Green, and Timothy Binder. And George was blathering about domes. And even Bo Bright said, I believe we should look into this. Obviously, he's building this thing in Idaho. And we got a thorough, sound thrashing. Needs to be transcribed. There's a lot of information in there. And we were going to bring a suit, because that was also played on stations in California, right up here in Delano. Never got done, did it? Never got done. Well, I don't know. Maybe you've got some other questions. I want to have a conversation in this room. I'm tired of being the lecturer.
Is there anything we could do toward black manipulation?
Well, you certainly need to get it on record before it runs out, don't you? I would think so, yes. Just to get it onto the record. In fact, I believe that you were the manager of the corporation that was dealing with that. So, yes, indeed. I don't want to go after these people, but I am sick to death of myself being blamed for allowing what goes on. Well, I don't allow or disallow. And you have to go back and realize that not only was that place in Sacramento beautiful, well done, Court and Rick went, Bo Bright's, after he was here, went up there and had a target shoot with them when they opened. This was a patriotic thing in the Common Law Service Center. I mean, come on. This man left the pilot connection with part of their employees. Wayne John and Gary Anderson were doing trusts, which later Bo Bright was pushing, as was George Green. Friendship, I would love to have Wayne John amongst us, because he knows, he worked with some people who know about underground greenhouses. On the other hand, he borrowed some personal money from the Institute, but the Common Law Service Center, Gary Anderson and Wayne John, for that particular building where they were sharing the building up there in Sacramento, over $90,000. That's a note back to the Institute. How can the Institute stay solvent if you can't collect the notes you have out there? And they laugh at you. They will come back and they'll say, well, this is a promissory note. Why isn't it paid? Why hasn't George Green paid? There's 200 or more right there. You get your $90,000 back from the Common Law Service Center from the ones working with George Green. And you're just about home free, aren't you? And that's what the Institute was structured for, to use. Well, George Green went out there and told everybody the Constitutional Law Center was his baby. And he set up the routing whereby you could put money into the Constitutional Law Center, so maybe Rick's right, you know. Oh, Al Bielek said at one of his UFO meetings that, man, they got away with about $5 million from that Institute. George Green did. True or false?
Maybe that's where he got it from, so he could say that's what he was worth.
That does ring your brain, doesn't it? Do you see how bad it looks for Gene? Can you see how bad it looks for Gene? So, no, there is no accusation here. This is what they are saying. And Gene has to know it. George Green is sitting back as he does. We got Gene. He's going to do anything. And when Gene was confronted about working with George, when I have never made any effort whatsoever to keep big secrets about anything, and I told Gene, no, George Green says you working with him. You and Tips both. Well, we find Tips was trying to get books released to George Green, and Eckers was paying the bill. For his disservice. They also paid Buchanan to represent George Green against them. And he managed to get a default out of arbitration. And Gene was there. I don't know how this ever happened. Gene was there to represent the Eckers in that arbitration hearing. And they never even took a deep breath before they ruled that he had done the work. Well, yes, if you are serving the Greens, you certainly were continuing to do the work. And they believe that Mr. Methvin should be paid. Well, in every county in the state of California are liens levied against anything the Eckers might ever have. And somebody was checking the bank account until it got up high enough that it was worthwhile for them to do this dastardly deed of stripping out everything to the last cent. And then the bank sends a bill for service. It's a nice world, isn't it? Well, I don't think they're going to want all of this heard. And I believe that they calculated that if they could stop George from sending around any more packages, they could kind of suck in quietly. And by the time you nice, innocent, dumb people got into a courtroom, it'd be over. All they'd have to do is write to Judge Coyle and say, statutes of limitations have expired on this, and therefore, Your Honor, and he would be forced by law to throw it out. The jurisdiction is in the federal court. It's also in the state court. But there's no point doing something after the horse is out. On the other hand, don't go bury the horse before you're sure it's dead. I can't help you more than to tell you how it looks. And that's why I truly wish Gene was here, because I wanted him to know how it looks and what is being said. John Coleman is a plethora of information, Rick. A lot of gold was funneled off through George Green, through Puerto Rico and some into Costa Rica, but mostly to someone I believe called Hernandez, I think his last name was, in Puerto Rico. Somebody else's turn. You see, I get in trouble coming in here and speaking on these things. I'm happy to answer questions. I have to bring up the topics. I realize that. That's why we're saying it here. And I appreciate what you're saying. And if you can't ask it in such a way that you can maintain your own privacy, then certainly we don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not even here to tell you what action you should take. You're going to have to hear these things on your own. But I think that there have to be some questions answered. And unfortunately, I think they're going to have to be answered by Gene because of what is being said and told publicly via that telephone grapevine regarding these things. You see, Rick's case was not supposed to have been filed. That was supposed to have been stopped before it got filed. Stop. That's all George said. But the inference is that Gene's his man, and Gene was sent down here to live among us and not allow these things to come to fruition. And because Gene struggled so hard against doing some of them, but you're going to have to remember that there has been a load of work. On the other hand, if a lawyer is in business, doesn't he do a lot of work? So it leaves it open for the appearance of. It certainly looks like it, doesn't it?
How we could get into this mess and stuff. It's costing more money than it's worth.
John, you don't even know, son. And it hasn't cost you anything.
Let's talk about John for just a second.
Okay.
I wanted to file an action on John's behalf. Last time you mentioned it, I think. And when I started doing a little bit of research into it, what came back to me from the law center was that John has a conservator for his person and has a conservator for his estate and has no standing to act in behalf of his own behalf because of those conservatorships that are in place. So it basically stopped him in the hands. Brad Elliott obviously has his hands full, but it seems like there's a wonderful case for Brad to bring on behalf of the Phoenix Institute to collect the common law service center note with Gene as a key witness for the plaintiffs. And jurisdiction, and not jurisdiction, but the time running is going to be an issue, perhaps.
Well, there are many ways. You're right, Rick, and there are quite a few ways that we can literally shelter Gene if we act properly. Because, you see, if we act first and properly, we can put Gene in a sheltered position.
Why don't we do that?
How would you do it, John?
I'm not a lawyer.
Well, nobody in here is. That's what I'm saying.
I had stayed in it a long time. I had the first time to send it over. We have to comply with the law.
Well, Rick's trying, but do you see when you... this is why we've got to get that school started. But you saw that it was painful for Gene. When we spoke of the school itself, it was painful for Gene. He is buried up to his ears in work. On the other hand, a lot of things, as people get informed, a lot of demands are made. And a lot of... anytime you have an informed public, you're not going to have the kind of garbage in Washington that you have. Well, you get some informed citizens according to the law, and they're all going to find a lot of causes of action, many, many causes of action. And if they learn, they can do it themselves. This would go down really hard if the right things were filed. On the other hand, I believe that there are ways to do it that would protect Gene. On the other hand, he's going to have to make some pretty severe choices. How can he go in if there is an opportunity to testify against one of his best friends? And see, you've got Wayne John in there with 7 children, 1 very retarded child, trying to make a living for his family. and caught up in this by simple association. But now that George has come out with these things about Gene being on his team and Tips being on his team, and seeing these things unfold, you have to face the fact that there's always the possibility, Gene has not said otherwise, that he wasn't sent here to do exactly what has happened, that George has advertised has happened.
Commander?
Yes.
It seems to me that we brought up almost these identical issues a year ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And brought them up to Gene, and you said almost identically what you said today, what George has been saying. And I don't believe we ever got any kind of response, at least not in this meeting forum. Did anybody ever get any kind of a response from that? Or was it just silence? Anybody? I'm asking that question.
I hear you asking it, and I'm waiting for someone to answer too.
Did you ever hear anything on that?
There was an answer. The issue raised.
Well, of course, the Anderson is considered judgment proof, just like George Green. So,
yeah, they can't hear you on stage.
They actually can. They can hear that.
Not well.
Okay.
Not louder.
Gary Anderson is very informed as a person. Is, you know, likely to judgment proof. So that would mean that even if a lawsuit was brought against him and a large judgment was ruled upon, it doesn't necessarily mean the Institute would actually see the funds. It would indicate good faith on the part of the Institute to collect on the notes. And that, I think, is the point to all of this.
Yes, because you're not going to get it. And sometimes the headache isn't worth it. Do you let it go? Well, you see, this Green isn't going to let it go. And you're going to be caught with your proverbial pants down.
The problem in this room, Commander, as I've spoken to people, seems to be cause of action. Everyone, whenever this issue comes up with lawsuits, everyone looks to the right, to the left. What is my cause of action? And finding a way that each individual has been personally damaged is the key to the whole thing. Well, the commander has said for year after year after year that Green and gang have tried to bring down the Institute. Anyone who has money in the Institute for a corporation has a cause of action. Now, whenever these discussions come up with Gene, it immediately is shut down under kind of reverse RICO. Because if more than one of the RICO defenses is that if more than one corporation or group of entities attacks an individual, that is a RICO action in and of itself. So in an effort to protect us from RICO, nothing can file out of that fear. Whether that is a really valid reason, I don't know. But I know that everything has been shut down.
That's not something that can be handled pro per.
No.
So it gets back to how have the individuals been damaged?
Well,
and that's a difficult question. Cause of action and statute of limitations are two very important things to look at.
They certainly are very important things to look at. And there was talk of a class action. And you truly do have to look at how much time is taken, but you have to understand the damage done to the Institute. Where might you be today had none of these negative things taken place? Who is going to come to work with you with Mr. Green's packets going out there and him telling everyone on his seminar circuit what idiots you are? Well, the idiot part does seem to come to me with him continuing to claim that he hears from Hatton. But you see, you have another thing to consider. On the day that Judge Coyle announced that he was not interested in hearing from any energy and he was going to put her pointing to Dorman to jail. And a lot of you were there to hear this. So this is not tattletale time. This is facts of what was in the room happening. Wouldn't you know that nobody in that room from our side knew what had happened, but obviously there had been a recess that morning while all of this was taking place, and you noticed an extreme change in Judge Coyle. And think back about it. And then on the way home, you found that Mount Carmel had been burned with all the people in it in Waco. That day, that moment, that you were being accused of being a far-out cult. Competition. Scene stealer.
Commander, it was my understanding that the class action that we had referred to was something that Gene was also working on. Are we going to need to just forget about working through that direction? Do it some other way? Or?
I believe that what we're faced with is Gene's going to be devastated when he finds out about this, but it's coming anyway, and the reason I've chosen to bring it up today is because of the things that I see taking place and the action that is being